Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Tuesday. It is the 3rd of November. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Good morning, Kelly. Nice to be here.
I'm glad to have you with me. And as always, I am glad to have with me Mr. Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me. Fun to be here.
I'm glad to have you both here because we're going to talk a skosh. I don't remember how many smidges are in a skosh. We're going to talk about yesterday's announcement from Apple, which was that there is another event coming, and it's called One More Thing. And the thing that we expect to be the one more thing, I think most people presume there will be several things, but the one big thing everybody's talking about for this event next week is that we think this is going to be when we get the Apple Silicon Max at long last.
Apple told us this was coming.
This is true.
Yes, they told us that the machines were coming this year, before the end of the year. So, yeah, which honestly I expected to be December 28th, given what Apple usually means by the end of the year, things like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think timing of it, it's interesting, right? Because the rumors from the fairly reliable sources and also John Prosser were that this event would be the 17th, and
yes,
it is in fact a week earlier on the 10th. I don't think John was wrong. I think Apple made the game time decision to jump this up a week because Black Friday is now a month-long event of Fridays,
yes,
not a single Friday, right? So
a festival, right, of Fridays, if you will.
Any, yes, other time when Apple says it's going to be, you know, before the end of the quarter, the season, the year, whatever, you're right. It usually is. Yeah, we beat it by 48 hours. Look at us go. But with this being a holiday buying season, I think it makes sense that they would have wanted this out before Black Friday.
Yeah. Well, before.
The reality is Black Friday has already kind of started, right? Like,
that's
true. Already been some, you know, this Friday, here's a sale.
Yeah.
So I think that's why that we see this on the 10th and not the 17th.
They said on Mac sales in quarter four may have had some influence on their thinking too.
Makes a lot of sense
to me,
John. Yeah, that's right. If you want people to buy the new Apple Silicon and the buying frenzy is heating up, maybe better get those in the store.
I think, Dave, like you, I think someone looked at the calendar and went, if we do this the 17th, it's too close to Black Friday. Like, we're going to get lost in that noise. And the only reason the 10th is interesting to me is because of the pre-order that opens up on the 6th for two of the phones and the HomePod Mini. For the,
right,
the outer phones, right?
Yeah, the Mini and the Max.
The Mini,
that's right,
and the Pro Max go pre-sale on the 6th of November. And then with the HomePod Mini, which I will be ordering for my birthday. And so at least somebody here will have one and we'll talk about it.
Cool.
And so part of the reason that we wanted to talk about these machines today is because of the buying frenzy. So I am in the market for a laptop. I recently went to see if I could get my hands on a new machine, a new Intel i7 13-inch MacBook Pro. And I can. The first week of December, if I order it right now, I can get that machine the first week of December.
I think it's important to note that these delays that we're seeing from Apple are not necessarily indicative of a product being discontinued or replaced in the lineup, right?
Like these, no, that's not
these
it at all.
Month-long delays are normal since the beginning of the pandemic, right?
Right.
And all those delays. So, yeah,
because
at the beginning of the pandemic,
is an i7, not an i5,
right,
which is why.
Right.
It's a BTO machine built to order. So, yes, I expected it to take a week or two. I didn't expect it to take five.
That's what my wife bought. I think it was mid-June.
Uh-huh.
And I don't recall it taking a month. I think we got it in something like 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's usually a week or two because I usually end up with a build to order for one reason or another. And it's usually a week or two. But in this case, it's a month. So this, of course, begs the question, if I have waited this long to get a new machine, do I really want the first iteration of Apple Silicon? I think there might be a lot of other people asking this question, which is why we're talking about it today.
Depends on what you're going to use it for.
all the same things I use it for now.
If you go to mission critical machine.
Yes.
And you've got some audio apps and you are in production mode.
Yes.
I would stay with the Intel.
Okay. And Dave?
Yeah. It depends, right? My machine in the studio that has a lot of very specific hardware drivers and things like that running, I don't upgrade that machine to even the latest operating system until usually before WWDC the next year, right? So this year it got Catalina in May or June or something like that.
Yeah, and same as me.
Typically, that's typically been how it goes.
Yeah.
As far as hardware, though, so John, you asked an interesting question in our staff meeting yesterday, which was very loaded. And it went something like, who's going to be buying an Apple Silicon machine on day one? And my hand went up. And you continued to suffer through the first wave of all the terribleness. Now, I'm paraphrasing.
That's true.
Here.
That's basically what you said.
That's basically it.
Yeah. And so you asked that question, and I put my hand back down. I said, no, I really don't think I'm going to be suffering through any wave of terribleness. And I will be buying. I'm presuming, as because it's what the rumors are saying, that the first one out is going to be a laptop. I don't think it's going to be the Mac Mini. I've been wrong on this before, as listeners of this show know. So,
no, I agree with you. So, I mean, we must be right.
So we must be right. There you go. So I will almost certainly be buying one of these so that I have it to test with and, you know, for what we do here and Mac Geek Gab and all that stuff. But also, I plan on relying on this thing. And if, in fact, the first Apple Silicon machine is an iMac, I would replace the iMac that I use in my office as my daily driver. Like, this is the machine I use more than anything else. Mm-hmm. But I don't do anything overly out of the box with it, right? I mean, I do this, and I have a USB microphone connected and all of that. I expect that will continue to work just fine. I expect I would be able to record podcasts just fine. So all the other things that I do, I would expect to be able to do just fine. We have to remember that this is not Apple's first machine with Apple Silicon, not even close.
Right.
You know, we have iPhones and iPads that have been running Apple Silicon for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And yes, it'll be the first public machine.
But not Rosetta 2.
True. But
right.
I don't see that as a huge... I mean, so much of what's happening behind the scenes is managed by all the libraries that, you know, if an app is written properly with Xcode, which is most of them,
right?
I don't foresee that being a problem. And also, like, not that anyone would have spoken to us, but if they had, I would presume that we would have heard about problems with Rosetta 2 by now.
Yeah.
And we just haven't.
Well, and we would have seen sort of general...
a lot of problems until Rosetta 2 ships.
But I think we would have seen a lot of concern from people with developer machines. Like,
that's what I'm
saying.
Yeah,
you know, no matter what I do, like, this doesn't work. Every time I plug in a USB microphone, I get a kernel panic. Every time, you know, like, if there was some sort of consistent failure, I think it would have bubbled up by now. So I agree with you, Dave. And it actually, I want to talk to you about a conversation I had just last night on this very topic. But first, what I'd like to do is take a minute and tell you all about our sponsor this week. And our sponsor this week is Mint Mobile. And Mint Mobile has done everybody a favor who's listening to this show. They've made it way easier for you to break up with your current wireless provider. And the way they've done that is by introducing an unlimited data plan for $30 a month. Let me say that again. Your ears do not deceive you. Unlimited data, $30 a month. How much are you paying for that right now? Is a thing that I would be very curious to find out. The way they do this is because they don't have any retail stores. Everything they do is online only, and they are passing all of that savings on to you. You can put your existing phone on any Mint Mobile plan. All Mint Mobile plans come with unlimited talk and unlimited texting as well. So you can add your unlimited data for $30 a month. If you are unhappy That's totally fine. They have a 7-day money back guarantee. Switching is very easy. Everything just shows up to your house. It's really great. I've done it. It's not a complicated process. All you have to do to switch is go to mintmobile.com/TDO. That's mintmobile.com/TDO to cut your wireless bill to $30 a month over at mintmobile.com/TDO. We'd like to thank them for sponsoring the show today. Now, last night, I had a conversation with Mr. Kelly where we were talking about this. And I said, so, you know, turns out it's going to take a month. If I order a laptop today, it's not going to get here till the first week of December. And so I was thinking maybe of holding out now that we've had the Apple event happen. I want to, you know, if there's going to be a Silicon machine, do I want to maybe get that instead? And his first question was mine, which is, do you really want the first one? And Dave, my response was basically the same as yours. Like, Apple's been making computers with their own processors in them for a really long time now. You know, so I'm sort of wondering what's going to be the clear advantage to an end user. And the first thing that I thought of was, if it's cheaper, then that would be something that would definitely catch my attention. If it was less money to get an Apple Silicon laptop than it was to get an Intel laptop, that's definitely another way to get people to sort of take the leap of faith into new processing architecture.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about it from a pricing standpoint. I thought about it from a lot of standpoints, but I guess I'm not expecting the first ones out of the gate to be the budget focused ones. I think they're going to want like a MacBook Pro out of the gate so that they can show the horsepower. Because right. What I think about when you ask the question, what's the benefit to the end user? I stop and think, well, look at how much horsepower, how much processing power we get out of an iPad Pro, mm-hmm. and it has no fan. Right. Mm-hmm. So this is a silent machine, mm-hmm. that does in many ways outperforms your Mac, whether you know it or not.
It definitely outperforms mine, I'm sure, because mine's right. 5 years old.
We know, Dave, from history that there's always going to be some sort of gotcha. There's going to be some sort of wrinkle. I mean, this is new technology. Apple isn't perfect. We all go through some rough edges. There's going to be some virtual machine issues. There's going to be some kernel issues. There's going to be some performance issues. There'll be little niggling things that'll kind of annoy us for a while.
Sure.
We'll get through it, but I don't think it'll see a rosy picture.
I don't.
That you do.
I think it's going to be a lot rosier than that. Yeah. If you want to find a little problem, I've got an Intel Mac here that I can sit down with you for days and show you lots of little problems. Seriously, though, right?
Like, well, then that proves my point.
But
yes, but I don't think there's going to be more problems just because it's Apple Silicon. There will always be things about the Mac that you're like, I wish it did this better. I wish it did this the right way. Like, mm-hmm. That's a normal experience.
As a
user, right. I really think for what most, you're not wrong, John, but I don't want to misguide people. And I think what you're saying could really be something that misleads people. I think for what most people are going to do, and I include myself in most people, at least most of the time, I don't think there's going to be an issue, like a huge umbrella issue that impacts everyone. If that were the case, Apple would not release this. You know, I bought the first
I think that's
laptop.
Why we've waited so long for the Silicon Macs we have, is it needs to be a good experience
for
everybody.
Deadline. They gave themselves a deadline till the end of the year, and that puts pressure on the engineers.
No, I think it was ready when they announced it, and we're just not actually getting the machines till the end of the year. But I don't think it was announced.
David Scherer, the background mode, David Scherer talked about this issue with how Apple develops the operating system software and how they manage it and how they get crushed by deadlines and drop things and add things. Mm-hmm.
If you're doing pro level work, very specifically with third party apps. So let's say, and I mean that, let's say you use Logic, right? Which is obviously a first party app. It's from Apple,
yeah.
But you use a bunch of third party plugins. I would not upgrade on day one, but anybody that does that already knows not to upgrade on day one to anything, a new operating system, even a new piece of hardware that's based on current technology, right? Like, you just know that these things are very finicky. And once you get a setup that's working, I've been in like top level recording studios that are like, oh yeah, you know, I'm running High Sierra on the machine that's recording everything. And it's like, yeah, that's how it goes. And they'll even go further than that. They'll say, and I've air gapped it. So it's not even connected to the internet anymore.
Yeah.
So they don't have to worry about security updates or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It is a you know, it's essentially a black box that runs the thing that they need to run their studio.
Right.
And so that kind of thing will continue regardless. Mm-hmm. So I'm not worried about those people. What you're
saying, Dave, is it depends on your level of expertise. It depends on your application, how comfortable you are with it.
I don't want to use those words. I think it depends on your application. I don't want to make people think they need to be experts to try these new machines. I really don't think that's the right thing to say.
But here's my assessment.
I didn't say had to be an expert. I said it depends on your level of expertise.
Well, what do you mean by that, though? Because that could be interpreted in a lot of different ways.
I mean, if you go out and buy this first generation machine and expect Microsoft Office to work in Rosetta 2 mode flawlessly and not have little bugs that annoy you, then you're in for a surprise.
No, but we don't know that to be a fact.
Right.
And I would, again, this is where I would be very cautious about the types of advice that we give, because that's not a fact. We don't know that. And we also know that lots of people run Microsoft Office, and we know that Apple has a relationship with Microsoft. So I would assume Office to be one of the apps that does run smoothly.
Gate. We saw, isn't that what we got the demo of?
Yes.
During the video. So here's my assessment of this. If you are a person who uses your computer regularly, whatever value of regularly that is, hourly, daily, weekly, monthly, whatever. If you use your computer and you currently do not run into weird issues with hardware you connect to it, weird issues with third-party software you use, weird issues with first-party software you use, Pages does this weird thing every time I launch it, whatever. If you don't generally have issues and you go buy an Apple Silicon Mac, I don't think you're going to have issues when you get that home and transfer everything and set it all up. If you are a person who occasionally has something odd happen, you are a person like all of us who maybe has particular needs and you plug in third-party hardware and you do other stuff with your machine and occasionally you run into the rough edge of something here and there, I think you may have the same probability of doing that on a Silicon Mac. So if you are a person who sometimes has this issue, you may still sometimes have this issue. And if you're a person who generally doesn't, you probably generally won't. That's kind of how it feels. Like if you're going to, if you open it up and you know, you use Safari and you check Facebook and you read your email in whatever email app you use, and you have, maybe you have a banking app, maybe you just log into their website and do the things you need to do. Maybe you use a financial app or two. Then you're using Pages for stuff you need to do with documents, or you're installing Office, right? Like, you're probably fine because fine before.
I can sum this up. Go ahead, John.
I can go with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just in IT manager mode where, you know, where you don't install a new operating system on day one.
And this is my hurdle, is my day job is IT. So every time I look at something like this, I'm just like, here are the 97 things that are going to cause me grief and heartache when I do this, whether it's a new operating system, a new piece of hardware, a new computer, a new processor architecture to deal with. Like, every one of those, I'm just like, here are all the ways that this is going to make my life more difficult. So that's sort of where my stance comes from on this, is like, if it's going to be December before I can get a new machine anyway, right? Then why not get the new one? And I'm trying to figure out if there's anything besides the knee-jerk, it's new and I don't want to have to jump into that breach first.
Well, that's a good
reaction.
I mean, as you said, if you expect to have fanless operation, or you expect it to be significantly faster, or you expect it to be significantly less expensive, I think you have to figure out what your key motivation is for switching to the Apple Silicon, besides just the fact that it's new and shiny.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I was going to say is it take, you know, we don't know what the specs are going to look like.
Right.
Right. We don't know what the battery life is going to be reported as. We don't know what the speed comparison is. Although we can make some educated conjecture based on.
Yeah.
What
if you've got a 16 hour battery life out of a new MacBook Pro, that might be enough alone. Yeah,
that might motivate you. And that's what I'm saying is wait until take a look at the specs, take a look at the price and decide, like, is this the thing for me? And I wouldn't focus so much on whether it has an Intel chip in it or whether it has an Apple Silicon chip in it, although we know that it will have the latter.
Yeah.
Assuming that you're not in the group that Kelly described where you're going to have problems anyway, and so you are therefore automatically more aware and cautious. But if you're not in that group, take a look at what the machine will do for you. Mm-hmm. You've never stopped to think about what hardware is running your iPhone when you upgrade.
Right.
You've stopped to think, what is it going to do for me? Why am I going to buy this thing?
Yeah.
And then you buy it and it does it, right? Or it doesn't do it and you have a problem.
The only decision to make when you get a new phone is how much space do I need this time? Like, generally, that's the only...
Right.
Or maybe what color? Like, those are the things that people are deciding when they get a new phone. It's not, gosh, do I want the new Apple Silicon chip? Because that's what you're getting every year.
Yeah, so I would look at what this thing is reported to deliver to you. And if you aren't comfortable making that decision on day one, then wait until we've had them and can talk to you about them.
So it's what I'm hearing after all of this is that we picked the wrong Tuesday to have this conversation.
I have a quick final question.
Yes.
Do we know if when, say, for example, Apple ships an Apple Silicon MacBook Pro or announces it on the 10th, that all the Intel Macs will be immediately discontinued, or will you still be able to buy one or the other for some time?
Oh, they've made it clear that you can buy one or the other for quite some time. They said that it was going to take two years to transition.
Something like that.
The entire 2 years to transition the entire line, but bit by bit, piece by piece, as each Mac is updated. Yeah. Will you still be able to buy his Intel counterpart for 2 years?
Oh, that's a good question. No, they have not said anything about that. Yeah. So
we don't know the answer.
I presume
to that,
we will find that out on Tuesday. Yeah. So at least from Apple. So, you know, if you have another reseller that you like to use, they will probably still have inventory they would be happy to get rid of. So I'm sure the opportunity to buy one will still exist. It's just whether or not that opportunity comes from Apple. So that's going to do it for us today. If you have questions about this, if you want to know more about the HomePod Mini, if you want to know more about the iPhone 12, if you want to know more about specific aspects of the new computers, once the new computers come out, again, a reminder that we will be a little bit later with daily observations next week on Tuesday, because we're going to wait until after the event to do the recording of our thoughts. You can get a hold of us at Mac Observe. You can get a hold of us at observations@macobserver.com via email. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. Dave, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
John, thanks for coming by.
My pleasure as always.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.